Welcome to The Topic, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Nathan Galderese. Starting off here a little bit later than, you know, supposed to, but it's no big deal. I'll be right with you guys here in one moment. Why you gotta get my hopes up? You said that you were staying over, but then I woke up to the cold air. How could you make me believe that there was something in between you and me? Yeah, I look around and I don't see. Where were you in the morning, baby? You didn't leave your number for me. Left me without a warning, waiting. Where were you in the morning, baby? How do you just walk away? Alrighty, here we are. Show is The Topic. You're live on Tuesday, every night, every Tuesday night from 8 to 8:30. Shows might have a little variance in that runtime, might be going a little over. Testing out some things, that's all new to it is all. Unfortunately, tonight's going to be very sports heavy podcast. Couldn't find a whole lot of interesting things in the gaming news section or anything else really that I caught my eye that I want to really talk about tonight. I'm going to keep checking that up as the show goes along. Just double checking there's nothing new or anything breaking that's, you know, that's going to be interesting or good to talk about. So we'll get around to that if anything does pop up. But in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Nathan Galderese. Welcome to The Topic. So before we get into any of the sports stuff, I do have something, you know, kind of new going on in my life, which I'm going to talk about here. Last Tuesday, which is just the reason why I couldn't do my show last Tuesday, why I started off on a Thursday, I think we did last week. I was involved in a car accident. No one was hurt. My car ended up being totaled, though. Today, I got a new car, though, so everything is going well. Got a 2007 Honda Civic Si. Really excited about that. It's chilling right now in front of the house because I don't have it, because right now it needs new rotors and brakes. I have to find time to try and get those put in. So I got that to work on, but excited to have a new car. Not excited about the increase in my insurance, though. But I'll hopeful with things with that. Still have to go get the parts and everything for that, and then hoping to get it done sometime this week. At the latest, I'm thinking Sunday I should be able to have it done. Yeah, just real excited about that. So wanted to share that with you guys. Now on to the long stuff. I have no idea how long I could spend talking on this stuff, or on the sports. This is weekly recap of the NFL, and then if I have time, depending on how long this takes, I will look at some of the upcoming games and, you know, kind of give my predictions on that. However, I'm likely going to save that. I'm doing a show this Saturday at 10:30 in the morning as a part of our homecoming special, so if you guys want to come check that out, there's going to be a long list of shows going on that day. I think from 10 to 2 is when they're running. Half hour versions of all the shows, which works great for me because that's all I have anyway. Yeah, but if you guys want to check that out Saturday, looking forward to that. Check out me at The Topic or any of the other shows that are going to be going on. I know we're still finalizing that schedule, but Saturday morning from 10 to 2, I'll be on at 10:30. Come check it out. So, for the weekly recap, there's some games I really didn't want to talk about too much. Didn't have a whole lot of interesting to say, so I'm kind of gonna put a footnote on them, and that's all. For the Lions and Cardinals game, tied 27-27. I didn't expect that. Giants versus Cowboys, I did expect that. We all know what the Giants are going to be this year. Between them and the Dolphins, they're going to be competing for that bottom seed and that number one overall pick. That's going to be the competition there, but, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. And then lastly, give me one second here. Last game here, Raiders Broncos. I got two comments on this. One, it's mine. Another one I saw somewhere. My comments: Raiders showed up. They showed up. They shut down any doubts about what they can do. It's against the Broncos. Broncos aren't the best team, but it's a division rivalry, and we all knew that was gonna be a tough game. And especially because of this last comment, Antonio, who clearly the team didn't need him. With him out of the locker room, I think it's going to be a better team, a much more well-run team, as well-run as that team can be. That team's just not going to... The organization's not the best well-run, but, you know. Moving on to some of the games. I'm going to open up Thursday night, Packers-Bears. If that wasn't one of the most defensive games of the week, I don't know what would have been. There's another game, I think, that comes in at a close second, but Packers-Bears, absolutely. Each team recorded 5 sacks. Adrian Amos got the game-winning interception to seal the game for the Packers. The teams could not run the ball whatsoever. They had a combined total rushing yards of 93 between them. So, not a great game for either team on the ground, and a great game for both team on defense, but the Packers got the better of it. As you would expect, having Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback in a game that came down to who could pass the ball better because neither team could run the ball. Some things to note going forward, looking out for on these teams. The Bears' offense looked weak. The longest reception they had was for 27 yards all game. Obviously, I don't expect that going forward. I expect them to bounce back and improve here going forward, but, you know, still something you got to look out for. Moving on to Sunday, got the Bills-Jets game. The Jets failed up to live the hype that I think a lot of us were expecting. I know that's what I was expecting. I was expecting a much better performance from them. Jets were in a position to put together a game-winning drive, but they failed to do so. So, young team. It's a team with a young quarterback. They got to look forward to some things, and they got to do better. So, but like I said, looking for some things, you know, going forward. Le'Veon Bell played well, but I think that he can do a lot more coming into the season. I think this is a little taste of what's to come. Still getting that into that system, especially in game speed. Practice does one thing, but game speed's an entirely different thing. So, Josh Allen showed a lot of promise. He threw 2 interceptions, which sure didn't help, but he's still looking for what else he can bring this season. I think that he has a lot of potential, and I think it's something that everyone can enjoy. I think he's capable of some big games this season. Fantasy owners should love that if they can, you know, predict which one they're looking out for. But that's all that's going to be there. Next game, we got the Titans-Browns. Speaking of failing to live up to the hype, man, I had the hype on the Browns, and I kind of talked about this last week, but the Browns got killed. I think early on in the game, I think this happened in the third quarter, I'd have to double check. But the Browns were keeping it competitive. They really were. It was killed after back-to-back interceptions by Baker Mayfield, I think one of which led to a big 6. The other one, I think, led to either a field goal or a touchdown. It was a 3-possession gap score after that, though. Not something they can afford. Another thing that kills them, this always will kill teams. Browns evidently need to get this together. Discipline. The Browns committed 18 penalties this week, which I didn't check this, but I'd have to imagine that was the most by any one team this week. So, I mean, that's something they got to keep in check. You can't win games if you don't have discipline. Some things to note going forward for them. The Titans have a top defense in the league. Evidently, they showed that. If their offense can keep up and if they can play better, I think this team is scarier than anyone thought, including myself. Got to give them credit where credit's due, and they played well. Took advantage of a Browns team that maybe was riding their own wave. Next up, we got the Falcons-Vikings. The Vikings defense kept the Falcons scoreless for the first 3 quarters. The final score doesn't do it justice. 3 quarters of one of the best offenses in the league. I mean, obviously, last year they were all injured. But, you know, in previous years, Devontae Freeman is a great running back. He's not top 5, but he's a great running back in the backfield, catching passes out the backfield. Then you have one of the best receivers in the game. In my opinion, the best receiver in the game right now. I'd put him at 2nd. Julio Jones. The only guy I'd put above him is probably DeAndre Hopkins, because what has he been able to do with in the previous seasons with subpar quarterback play? We'll get more into the Texans here in a little bit, but things to note going forward. Falcons need to bounce back from this. 2 interceptions by Matt Ryan. Huge blow to that game. Kirk Cousins only threw the ball 10 times, completing it 8 for 98 yards. And they got to do more in that part of the game. Otherwise, teams will just shut down the run, which I actually forgot to mention here, so I'll get back to that here in 1 second. But yeah, for this team to remain competitive, they have to be more well-rounded. So we'll have to see what they end up doing here in the future. But they've got to it's okay to be a run-heavy team. I mean, it's not exactly the modern era of the NFL, but they can lean into that defense and the run to chew clock and control the clock, but they got to be able to pass the ball better. Dalvin Cook had a great game. That's what I was trying to get back to. 21 carries for 111 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's a great game. Over 5 yards a carry, you get 2 touchdowns for your team. A great game from him, expecting more from him in the future. Another game, this one I don't have too much to say about this one. Panthers-Rams. The running game was what carried this team. This is something that old football fans or old heads would have loved this game. They combined for a total of 293 rushing yards and 5 rushing touchdowns. I mean, that is an absolutely incredible running game for both teams. Things to note going forward. Both team needs to throw the ball better. It was a rough start for both team against two evidently defenses that played well. The Rams are obviously a great defense up front as well. Panthers don't necessarily get as much notice as the Rams do, but still a good defensive team. They have to be able to pass the ball better. Otherwise, they might struggle this season. Up next, we got the Jaguars and Chiefs. Chiefs showed up and played the lights out, without a doubt. Patrick Mahomes threw for 378 yards and 3 passing touchdowns. However, unfortunately, the big story this week in this game was the injury to the free agent acquisition for the Jaguars this season, Nick Foles. He is out indefinitely with a collarbone injury. Wishing him absolutely the best. As we know, this team should need him going forward. But interestingly enough, I mean, some things to note, cause especially considering we don't know how long Nick Foles will be out with this injury. Quarterback Gardner Minshew, backup for the Jaguars, came in after Nick Foles went out and threw 25 passes, completing 22 of them. That's an 88% completion percentage, which is absolutely nuts. He threw 2 touchdowns and 1 interception, and ended the game with a 122.5 quarterback rating. It's 10th highest in the league this week. He beat out quarterbacks like Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, and others. I think he also beat out Deshaun Watson. I'd have to double check that. I'm mixing up one of the names there, but he played great, and that's something that, you know, if he can keep up, maybe this Jaguars team is not going to suffer too much from this Nick Foles injury. It's all going to be after a matter of see what happens, but look on that going forward, you know. He could surprise some people if he keeps up that kind of play. I don't expect him to, not especially not at that level, but if he can play at a decent level, the defense needs to show up. Obviously, they're playing against the Chiefs, the best offense in the league, but still, they got to show up more. Chargers Colts, Jacoby Brissett came out and threw for 190 yards. Give me one second here, on 21 passes, which is a small amount for the completed passes. That's less than 5 yards pass. That's not true. I mixed that up there. But regardless, as I was saying, he's playing it safe this week. He's playing it safe, absolutely. You know, I don't know if he's necessarily was ready to be a starting quarterback. Not to say that he can't do it. I think he can, but I don't think he had enough time to be completely, fully ready in that system. But in general, could have been the Colts' game plan to play it safe with him this week. I absolutely think that was a probably more likely chance that that's what it was, but still something, you know, keep your eye on with that. Still managed to throw 2 interceptions, though, and interceptions. Evidently, it worked for him, and it worked for the team. Not well enough, as unfortunately they took the loss this week, but it's something that, you know, that might work for them. And something they obviously, you know, work in some more deep game in there, but, you know. The Chargers, their running backs ran for a total of 125 yards on 21 carries. Which is, I would say, a low amount of carries for a team. I mean, I'd say that, you know, especially considering how it's split up, maybe that's why I'm thinking that. Maybe it's not as bad as I'm thinking. But they got things done in the passing game. Phillip Rivers did a great job. The running back, Austin Eckler, he even got 6 passes out the ball out of the backfield for 96 yards and 2 touchdowns. Evidently, the running backs are still playing a huge part in that system. Maybe not as much running the ball. But I think they do need to run the ball a little bit more going forwards. But, you know, maybe they're still testing the waters with the whole Melvin Gordon thing. Speaking of which, that's something you want to keep your eye on. It's just, you know, pay attention to that situation as the season continues. And keep a close eye on Jacoby Brissett to see what it is he can do for his team. The Bengals and Seahawks. This week, in my mind, was an absolute fluke. Seattle's defense was caught sleeping. I mean, I think that is evident to anyone. They let Andy Dalton throw for 35 for 51. Not an outstanding percentage, but still a really good percentage. But, you know, 418 yards and two touchdowns. Now, that I'd say is really impressive. I don't think he threw for an interception either. The Bengals clearly subscribed to the air raid offense this game. You know, like I said, throwing for 51 times and only ran the ball 14 times. It's not a system that's going to work in the long term. It's something that teams will scout out and they'll be able to ready to shut down. You can look for that next week, honestly. But, yeah, it's not, like I said, it's not going to work long term for them. So I'd say, you know, things to look going forward, things to note. Bengals need to run the ball more. I don't give it great chances that they're going to do great things this year. But if the offense can, you know, keep up that fun and exciting, you know, thing that they did this week, if they can be that exciting going forward while adding a running game, maybe they can upset some teams that they're not supposed to this year. Seattle's defense does need to tighten up going forward. And the offense played well, but Russell Wilson needs to throw the ball more. He only threw it 20 times. They ran the ball 25 times. Now, four of those runs were recorded by Russell Wilson. I didn't exactly catch those, so I don't know if those were designed runs or not. So it could have been 24 pass attempts and only threw it 20 times, plus the sacks. But in general, I'd say they need to, you know, give him more chances there. So we're going to come right back. You're going to keep this going. Up next, we're going to be with the Ravens and Dolphins. Going to give 1 minute here. I'll be right back with you guys.
Anytime you're ready, I'm waiting, yeah. Even 10 years from now, if you haven't found somebody, I promise I'll be around. Tell me when you're ready, I'm waiting, yeah. Baby, tell me when you're ready, I'm waiting. Baby, anytime you're ready, I'm waiting. Oh, even 10 years from now, I promise I'll be around. Tell me when you're ready. I'm waiting, I'm waiting.
Alrighty. I really should have filled up my water bottle before I got this started, but the lesson for next time. Coming back, like I said, we're going to go with the Ravens and Dolphins. Let's see. Lamar Jackson played like an absolute stud this week. There's no way to sugarcoat that. Threw the ball 20 times, completing 17. I think that's a low amount for him. Threw for 324 yards, though, and 5 touchdowns. There's nothing, you can't say anything about that. I'm going to say the reason why he threw so little. If I would have saw the game or more of the game, I'd love to know how much he threw in, you know, the first half, first quarter. But I want to say it's because they were winning so much. They were beating the Dolphins so badly. In fact, the Ravens put in RG3 and gave him some minutes. I saw RG3 threw like 6 passes. He was 6 for 6 and ran the ball like 3 or 4 times. I mean, that's how bad this game was. The Dolphins, they played the Dolphins. So, you know, add that asterisk by that win. But when you kill them that bad, you got to give them the credit that they deserve. Even when they're playing a team that's obviously competing for the number one draft pick this year, they're not competing for the Super Bowl, they're competing for the number one pick. They're in full rebuild mode, especially after trading away a franchise player, Laremy Tunsil. So, I mean, I don't think anyone can disagree with that. Things to note going forward, though, keeping an eye on Lamar Jackson to see if he can keep up this play. If they do, and as well as his running back core, they had a lot of carries that was spread between a few guys. They played well. If they can continue that and aid this offense, aid Lamar Jackson, they can compete in the AFC North this year, something I wasn't giving them maybe enough credit for in my preseason predictions. And They can look to be a great team this year if they somehow keep up this level of play. I don't necessarily think they will. I don't know if Lamar Jackson's quite there yet. He still has some work to do, working on his passing. But, you know, there's a lot of surprises. You never know what will surprise you. So maybe he's the guy this year. Then up next we have the Redskins and Eagles. This is a game that got scary fast. During this batch of games, I was at work, actually. I work at a restaurant. I see the TVs going all game long. I walk by when I'm seating someone. I look up, see the TVs, check the score, see what's going on. Saw the Redskins were winning 7-0. I'm like, well, that's surprising. You know, whatever. I didn't see if they started off the ball or not, you know. But Redskins up winning. I'm like, okay, well, that's neat. We'll see how long that lasts. Second quarter, I saw they're up 20-0. In the second quarter at one point, they were up 20-0. And I thought, wow, the Eagles let this get out of hand. And I thought that was it. I didn't think the Eagles were going to be able to come back from that. But, of course, the Redskins let them come back. Now, the Eagles played great. Starting late in that second quarter, they played great. But I don't think it excuses anything. The Redskins let them come back and win this game. Eagles got their head on straight, and they reminded the Redskins who's the boss in that relationship and who's the boss in that division. Quarterback play was great between these two. Case Keenum threw 30 for 44 and 380 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. Now, that's insane. Not something you expect to come from Case Keenum. Carson Wentz threw 28 for 39 while throwing for 313 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's something you almost do expect from Carson Wentz. He's a great player. But to say the least, there were still some shocks here. What killed the Redskins here was their inability to run the ball. They ran the ball 13 times for 28 yards. That's a little over 2 yards a carry. That is, I'd have to assume that was the worst rushing performance by a team this week. It's absolutely inexcusable. It's something that they have to fix coming on. You can't run the ball. You can't kill the clock. You can't seal that game up 20-0. You should be running clock management from there on out and relying on that defense, which evidently played well. If you can't run the ball, though, you're turning the ball over a lot. The Eagles are getting more chances. Your defense gets tired. The Redskins fumbled this one. The Eagles played a great job here, but it's the Redskins that killed themselves here. Some things to know going forward. Eagles are obviously a team you want to watch this year. They need to start off better going on next week. They can't let a team get up on number 20 because it's not the Redskins they're going to be playing all the time. The next team that gets up 20-0 on them or gets up on the lead on them early on, they might be a better team. They should be a better team. Hopefully a team that gets up like that, you know, that you shouldn't blow that lead. But, yeah, the Eagles can't let that, you know, happen again going forward. But they're a great team to watch. They're a team that has Super Bowl contention. They have chances this year, so keep an eye on them. You know, just in general as a team, they're a great team. A lot of fun. And, you know, they look to be a competitive team this year, continuing that streak for them. So keep an eye on them, just in general. Case Keenum. Now, if he can do at least half of what he did this week going forward, if he can play at half that level, I think that's above what we were expecting from him. I don't think we were expecting, you know, complete garbage play from him, but not at the level he just played. If he can continue this, like I said about the Bills, the Bengals. If they can keep up that level of play, they might be in position to upset some teams in some big ways and ruin some playoff chances. Keep an eye on that. I think that'll be something that'll be really interesting to see someone's favorite team get bumped out by the Redskins. So keep an eye on that. 49ers versus the Buccaneers. 49ers defense came out and showed that they were a legit squad. They made some great offseason acquisitions. And DeForest, I think it was DeForest Buckner, I think they picked up this offseason as well as drafting Nick Bosa. They had 3 interceptions this game, 3 sacks. 3 sacks, you know, you might expect a little bit more from the defensive front, but, you know, the pressure they were putting on was significant. It definitely aided Jameis Winston, you know, to throw those 3 interceptions because that's what he needs help, throwing more interceptions, because that's not in his reputation. No, that's not what he's known for. This game, quite frankly, though, you know, if you're a fan of high-scoring offensive games, like I'd say most people probably are, we're not here to watch defensive slugfests. It was boring. 49ers threw one touchdown. And when what they did for the rest of their those points, they kicked three field goals. That's what the offense did. You know, we'll get to what the defense did here in a minute. The Bucs also only threw one touchdown. The defense teams, you know, for both teams, they played well. The 49ers had two interceptions returned for touchdowns. The Bucs even returned one. The Bucs defense evidently played well in the red zone, holding the 49ers on three of those chances, you know, to field goals, and they even missed one. The offense evidently couldn't get it going for either team, but even more so in this case, the Bucs were outplayed on both levels there. I mean, yeah, like I said, boring game offensively. The defense scored a total of three touchdowns, while the offense only got two. You know, that's not usually the most interesting thing. Some things to note going forward. Each team, you know, simply has got to have their offense back on track going forward. 49ers, I think it might be a surprise team this year. I don't think the Bucs have much of a shot at, you know, doing anything too competitive other than making some upsets. But I don't see them doing much. So, so here we're going to talk about a game that I don't want to. It's a game that I'm not happy about as a Steelers fan. So, I mean, you could probably already guess that Steelers-Patriots. Don't want to talk about it, but I have to. I have to as a Steelers fan. I can't just not acknowledge what happened. Steelers played poorly against the Patriots, like they always do. You know, I haven't lost to a bonus team by any means. But this is what happens just about every time we play them. We've been close sometimes, but we can just never beat this team. Yeah, give me 1 second here while we are. While I'm going on about that, I want to check their record against each other. So some things to look forward to from these teams. So first of all, I look forward. Will Antonio Brown continue his drama-filled nonsense? Will they continue that, and will this still be the absolute clown show that we've all been loving here? I'm not going to get into all of that again. You guys have heard it all several times this week. It's not something that we need to keep getting into here. The Steelers obviously cannot do that again. I'm sure they will. We have a history of playing poorly, very poorly in situations where it's not ideal. Typically, we play poor against bad teams. We play good against good teams. Didn't do that here. Played like crap. You know, we'll see what happens next week. I haven't lost hope yet. I'm not going to lose hope. I love this team. Can't do that again. Can't say that I picked the Steelers to win this game, but I mean, it's what it is. Speaking of the records I was trying to find, dating back to 1972, I mean, that's how back this record goes. We're 16 and 17 against Patriots. Patriots lead that series. But here, I'm going to look back the past 5 years. So starting from, we'll start from 2013 because we didn't play them in 2014. So from 2013, we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're 6-1 against them. Since 2013. Before that, we beat them in 2011. So we can say from 2011 here, we'll call it 2010. Well, I can say that in the last 10 years. In the last 10 years, we are a great record against them. Two wins, and we have a grand total of 7 losses. They're 7-2 against us in the last 10 years. We always lose against this team. Simple as that. It's saddening because I want to beat this team every year. Everyone does, but you know we can never pull it off. So that's what it is. Texans Saints. This was the offensive showdown that I think everyone was waiting for this week. This is what we called it to be. This was absolutely what we wanted. It was an exciting game to watch. It was a good close football game. The only thing I have to say really about this game is the Texans O-line needs to be better for this team to. I think this team obviously played well. They played well against one of the top teams in the league, and I think they can play at that level. But the offensive line, if they played well that game, if they played better, it could have made the difference. They let up 6 sacks, and Deshaun Watson was getting pressured and hit as he was throwing nonstop. It's something that you can't let happen going forward, especially to a franchise quarterback. We can't let the Texans do to him as the Colts did to Andrew Luck. I'm not saying that if they don't fix this O-line, Deshaun Watson's going to retire at the age of 29. But you can't let him get beaten up like we have allowed to other franchise quarterbacks. Then some things to note going forward. Like I said, the Texans' O-line needs to be better. These two teams will be a lot of fun to watch this year. Keep an eye on both of them. One, like I said, they're going to be a lot of fun, and that's obvious. But two, both these teams have playoffs written all over them. Saints more than the Texans. I think the Saints are a much better, well-rounded team. I think they're the best talented and best one of the best run teams in the NFL. I think they're the best team going forward here. And I think they're coming back into this season with a hunger because they got robbed last year. Obviously, they've moved on from that. But I think it's something to look forward to. Alrighty. We're going to do one last check. See if we can find anything else interesting here to talk about. Got some time to kill. Obviously, my time slot's till 8:30, but you know, I don't have a show coming up after me. I have a little bit of time to kill right now, so let me see if I can find anything interesting in gaming news before I call it. Be 1 minute, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be right back with you. I'm a couple hundred miles from Japan, and I was thinking I could fly to your hotel tonight. Cause I can't get you off my mind. Can't get you off my mind. Can't get you off my mind. Did you got plans tonight? I was hoping I could get lost in your paradise. The only thing I'm thinking about is you and I. Cause I can't get you off my mind. Can't get you off my mind. I can't seem to get you off my mind. Let's get lost tonight. Let's get lost. Alrighty. Seems about all for the show tonight. I do have one last thing I'm gonna talk about though. So give me 1 second here while I click on something real quick. Alrighty. I'm gonna talk about something. I'm gonna talk about sitting here and doing radio. You know, not something that you normally think about. This has been an absolutely weird experience. I came to RMU, I'm a freshman this year. I want to do stuff with, TV. I want to run background stuff. That's what I came here for. Show up here. And I did this once as a part of the retreat thing when they were introducing us to everything. And I absolutely enjoyed it. I fell in love with it. So it's so weird because I'm sitting here right now in a room. No one else around. We're just playing the music, keeping on low. So we have some background music going on here. But I'm just sitting here talking to myself for... been 33 minutes, a little over 33 minutes, and I'm just having a blast with it. It's kind of one of the weird things. Might be looking to do some more things, getting involved with some more things, maybe get some people on, maybe try and expand this or just expand into other shows. But having a blast with it. This is something I kind of got placed into last year, when I found out that I wanted to do this whole TV thing or, pursuing that. When I class in high school, I got placed into something, and then, it was just something that I kind of took off with. It was our broadcast class. It was a simple program on a Mac, but it was a lot of fun. And it's leading me somewhere that I'm having a great time with. Never did I think I'd be sitting, like I said, in a room just talking to myself for, half an hour, having a blast with it, though. I can honestly recommend, if you find something you really want to do, I can only recommend doing it. That's what I've been doing here. Wasn't necessarily what I thought I don't think anyone, not even myself, was expecting that I would get into. Always been a big math and science person, but here I am doing this. Not quite, anything in that regard, but, yeah, do what you guys want to do. I mean, I'm obviously in the early stages of it. I still have a lot of things I need to figure out. A lot of classes to do, a lot of experience to get, and then, internships, all of this. I have a lot of things to figure out. But if it seems like something you can make work and it's something you love to do, even regardless, if it's something you love to do, explore it. See whether or not you think it's a viable thing. See if even if it's not, find a way you can maybe make it into something like a hobby. If you guys find something you love, do it. I know, life advice or advice here from a 18-year-old college freshman. It's the best you guys can get. We're going to call it there. There you guys. Appreciate anyone who's here. Next show, because that's going to be this Saturday at 10:30, on pending changes. Homecoming show. It's going to be probably that's what I'm going to do. Obviously, I can't preview the Thursday game, so let me actually pull that up. Because I can at least talk about that real quick, because I can't talk about that Saturday. But Saturday, we're going to be previewing some of the games, and if anything comes up, then absolutely we're going to be talking about that. I'm going to be looking for a lot of things. Anything I can talk about that's not just sports, because while I love sports, I know everyone talks about sports, so I want to try and do something a little bit different here. So the Thursday night games, Panthers, Buccaneers, not going to spend a whole lot of time previewing that. Obviously, I am picking the Carolina Panthers to win that game. I think it's a no-brainer. I don't think the Buccaneers are that great of a team. I don't even think the Panthers are the best team in the league by any stretch, but they're definitely a better team than the Buccaneers. I guess we'll just call it there, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Nathan Gowderies. This is The Topic. Check it out Saturday at 10:30, and if you're not going to be available for that, check it out next Tuesday at 8 o'clock from 8 to 8:30. Follow me on Instagram. My name is Nathan Gowderies. That's good. That's my Instagram handle. I do plan to expand into some more social medias. If you guys want to check it out, by all means, feel free to. That's going to be all for me, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, The Topic, 8 to 8:30. My name is Nathan Gowderies. Next show is this Saturday at the Homecoming Game, 10:30. That's all for you, folks. Have a great one.
Time that you say you're gonna leave, that's when you get the very best of me. You know we need it like the air we breathe, air we breathe, yeah. I love you so much that I hate you. Right now it's so hard to blame you, cause you're so damn beautiful. So damn beautiful.